Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our living Savior, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from the Gospel of John. We read from chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, and this would be the evening of Easter Sunday, the disciples were together behind locked doors because of their fear of the Jews. Jesus came, stood among them, and said to them, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. So the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. Just as the Father has sent me, I am also sending you." After saying this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whenever you forgive people's sins, they are forgiven. Whenever you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." But Thomas, one of the 12, the one called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples kept telling him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger into the mark of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will never believe." After 8 days, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Take your hand and put it into my side. Do not continue to doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus, in the presence of his disciples, did many other miraculous signs that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. This section from the Gospel of John is the traditional gospel reading for the Sunday after Easter. It is one of my favorite texts to preach on in the whole Bible. It's such a compelling narrative. It is so relatable and memorable. Relatable in the sense that which one of us hasn't been like Thomas before? Which one of us hasn't had doubts about our faith at times, even if it was just for a short time? Or maybe the doubts weren't quite as severe as Thomas just not believing that Jesus rose from the dead, even though the disciples had all seen him and told him continually, "We've seen the Lord, he's risen." Which one of us hasn't wanted at times more visible, tangible proof from the Lord to confirm our faith, to take away those doubts that at times nag our hearts and minds? Maybe this is one of your favorite accounts in the Bible as well. Maybe you've read it or heard it read many times over the years. If you've attended one of our congregations for a long time, you've probably heard this text read every single Sunday after Easter for now probably many years. In my 20 years of ministry, I've probably preached on this text at least 10 times. I could have gone back and counted, but my guess is at least 10 times. That's a lot. It's a lot of times to preach on one text. And so there's a particular challenge when preaching on a familiar text, especially if it's a text that's not only familiar, but one that you've preached on a number of times. And so as I was studying the text again this week and thinking, what am I going to say for this Sunday that I haven't said many other times about this very text? It struck me that one of the most important aspects of this text is not just the narrative about Thomas and Jesus' appearance to him. We might call it the what that happened, the what of this text. What's also very important is the why. Why did the Holy Spirit inspire John to write down this account in the Bible? We find the answer to that question in the last verses of this text. And these are the verses that we're going to focus on today. When we read these verses, we realize that these words were written for us. When you think about the narrative of this text, Jesus' appearance to Thomas was very much for him. But the writing down of this narrative and the words that John writes for us, especially at the end of this text, were for us. Let's start with Jesus' words in verse 29 of our text. Yes, Jesus is, of course, talking to Thomas here, but don't miss the fact that he's also speaking to us and about us and all believers who, unlike Thomas, would not be able to see Jesus with their very own eyes. Verse 29 says, Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Probably a familiar verse to you. You've probably heard this a number of times. So I will quiz you on it. What does Jesus call us and all who believe in him, even though we've never seen him with our own two eyes? Foolish? Childish? Gullible? Insane? No, he calls us blessed. When we look to Jesus with eyes of faith, we are exactly that. We are truly blessed. In fact, John tells us this is one of the reasons God's Holy Spirit inspired him to write what he wrote in his gospel. Listen again to verse 30, to the first half of verse 31 of our text. It says, Jesus, in the presence of his disciples, did many other miraculous signs that are not written in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. These are written that you may believe. Even though we haven't seen Jesus with our own two physical eyes, he has not left us without proof. He's given us his very own words, his words, which he inspired eyewitnesses like the Apostle John to write down for us. And even though he hasn't written down every single thing he ever said or did, what he has written down for us is enough for us to, in the words of John, believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. In fact, we could say that these words of verse 31 are not just the reason for John's gospel and the reason it was written. Rather, in these words, we find the reason and purpose for the entire Bible. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Couldn't we say that is the reason and purpose for the entirety of the Scriptures? That we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. If you're paying close attention to our liturgy today, you notice that we sang those words after hearing the scripture readings. These are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. As Jesus says, we are truly blessed when we believe in him. Remember what Jesus' first words to his disciples were, words that he mentions and says to them, I believe at least three times in our text. His first words to them were, peace be with you. We are blessed when we believe in Jesus because we have exactly that. In Jesus we have peace, true peace. And what did Jesus show them that proved not only that he was alive, but that he had bought and paid for that peace? The very next verse, verse 20 of our text, tells us, after he said this, peace be with you, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. When everything seems uncertain in this life, we can be certain and look to the risen, living Lord. And in those nail-pierced hands and that spear-pierced side, we see the price that he paid for our peace. In a world that is filled with war, in a life that is filled with stress, with problems, with sorrows, with guilt over past and present sins, we can still be sure of peace in Jesus. He died and paid for all sins. And now he lives. He lives and he says to us, "Peace be with you." With Jesus, it's more than just a wish. It's more than just a common greeting, because this was the common greeting amongst the Jews, "Peace be with you." But with Jesus, it's more than that. It is an accomplished fact. It is a precious gift from our Lord and Savior. And finally, we are truly blessed when we believe in Jesus, because as John says in the last verse of the last half of the last verse of our text, "And that by believing you may have life in his name." That is the true blessing of believing in Jesus, having life in his name. What kind of life did Jesus come to give us? Certainly, we must admit that he has given us many blessings in this life, beyond what we deserve, beyond what we even ask for, especially giving us spiritual blessings, forgiveness of sins, faith in him, brings us the peace that is absolutely priceless. But more than that, Jesus gives us eternal life in his name. Again, those nail-pierced hands and that spear-pierced side bought and paid for our place with him forever in heaven. A place that he promised he is preparing for us. So Jesus has come again to you and me once again today, and these familiar words, words that are his words. And he says to us and comes to us to remove our doubts. He says, "Put your finger here into my hands. Look at my hands. Take your hand and put it into my side. See and touch the wounds that I bore for you on the cross for your sins. See and touch that I am alive. I am your living, loving Savior. Do not continue to doubt, but believe." Jesus is speaking to you and to me when he says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus has given us the sure and certain words of his eyewitnesses, men like John, who reminds us that this is the very reason that he wrote the words that he did. "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." And so, with eyes of faith in Jesus' words, we confidently say today the words of the disciples: "We have seen the Lord." Believe, and there will come a day when we will truly see, not with eyes of faith, but with our own two eyes. As the Apostle John would remind us in his first letter, we shall see him as he is. We will see him as he is. What a day that will be. We look forward to that day, and we can say with Job of the Old Testament those blessed Easter words, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me." Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.